All right, we mentioned something this morning. We were talking in our morning meeting about Kentucky and have we seen anything quite like them. And we were talking about the UCLA teams of the 60s, which were so dominant, undefeated, 10 straight titles, something crazy like that, the Wizard of Westwood and all that. And they had arguably the two most dominant players in that era. And they played at center, and it was very difficult for anyone to match up against Bill Walton or then Lew Alcindor. And then Junior piped in with the reference to his fantasy Nerf League game that he played as a kid.
Well, this was because when we were talking about the greatest teams we've ever seen, you said, I can't really talk about those UCLA teams with Alcindor and Walton because I never saw them.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just offering my services because I know we're going to do this segment later in the show. And so I told George, well, you know, I never played against Alcindor, but I played against Walton in my Nerf basketball league because I played for the University of Amarillo, the Armadillos, and we had non-conference games, obviously, each year in the regular season. They usually fell around Christmas.
So you were a college team?
We were a college team, yeah.
Okay.
And we would play a non-conference game against UCLA, huge every year because it happened during the holidays and NBC always carried it. And then two of the 3 years of my eligibility, we met up with UCLA in the tournament.
Wow.
Yeah. So I played against Walton 5 times.
It's just so ridiculous that a kid would have that specific an imagination to where you would have your team and you'd give yourself some matchups and all that. And I don't know, I guess, well, we'll get into this. I don't know if every kid still does this or not, because I think their fantasy world has become, you know, Xbox or whatever their video game is of choice. And I don't know if kids use their imagination as much as they used to, like Junior, who had his own fantasy college team.
Fantasy.
I'm sorry. You played on a college team.
Yeah.
In Amarillo. Sorry.
I didn't lie and come on here and say I played against both Alcindor and Walton.
Right.
I mean, that would be,
right.
Obviously, there's no way.
That would really be ridiculous. But then I thought of my own kids, and they've had their own, and I remember I've told you this before, and I think, yeah, I know we talked about it on the air, but it was a long, long time ago. And I think at one point we called one of my kids about this, and he got really embarrassed. And
yeah,
it was a good indication I should never have my kids on the air. And it was my child, who's now pushing 24. He'll be 24 this August. And he had, like you, a basketball team. For whatever reason, we got him a Miami Heat jersey. I think they were on sale one time. Said, hey, I think that jersey's cool. So we got him that. So he played for the Heat out in our backyard. He had a little patio, and he had one of those little Tykes goals that would go up to about 5 feet, I guess, and had the little plastic ball. And daily he would play games with the Heat, with his teammates, Reese, Rice, and Russ, Davis Cologne.
That's right. Forgot about him.
A made-up name. And Leon Riley, I think, was the other one. Or was that the Mavericks draft pick that didn't work out? I always get those two confused, but there was something like that. But the weird thing about him, and maybe it was because he started to go to North Texas games at a young age, they would somehow always lose. They would make it to the championship, and they would lose. And I don't know if he liked the playoff or sympathy of, oh, man, I'm sorry you lost the championship game. You know, because he'd come in and be all sweaty and just real defeated, you know, and hanging his head. What happened? We got to the title game, but which was unstable because they didn't play a series. He didn't know anything about series in the NBA. He played for the Heat, and yet it would just be one game, and they would somehow lose. And there were times where we wouldn't hear the basketball bouncing out there, and we'd go out, and he'd be laying on the ground, and we say, what's the matter? I'm waiting for medical attention. I got fouled. So it was always something bad that happened to him. He got injured, yeah. Or, you know, which is really strange. And he never won titles. Like, you won how many straight titles? Did you win every year?
Well, no. In fact, we won 2 out of 3. And
okay, so you put some reality in there that you could possibly lose.
And you know why I think that happened? Because those UCLA teams won 2 out of 3. And so I think I was trying to kind of mirror real life. I was trying to make us the UCLA.
Right.
And then when I saw UCLA lose in 74, I thought, okay, even the great teams lose, so we've got to lose so that I can have a depressing offseason.
It's funny what we do, just to try to mimic what we see on TV, or in this case, you know, as big sports fans, what we see. Now, you were what? How old when you were doing this?
I was probably 6, 7, 8, or 7, 8, 9.
Yeah,
I guess that's what I was, 7, 8, and 9 for the 3 college years.
And then you went pro.
And then I went pro, and luckily, Amarillo, my birthplace, got a pro franchise. And of course, since they were a brand new expansion team, they had the number one pick. We were the Amarillo Cowboys. Mm-hmm. And of course, they picked me. So then I played in
the
NBA.
That could happen. Olajuwon with the play for the Rockets. Yep. You know, it happens.
So then I played in the NBA for a while.
Until you're like 16 or so?
Yeah, somewhere in high school. I think till I got my driver's license. But I still remember my starting lineup from University of Amarillo.
Okay.
So it was me at center,
mm-hmm.
the generically named Dan Smith at power forward.
Okay.
The small forward was Norm Van Leer Jr.
Ah.
The son of Norm Van Leer, who at the time was playing for the Bulls and could in no way have had a college-age kid. But he was our small forward, and he was my best friend.
We were, oh, really?
We,
good yeah, friends.
We were okay. roommates, and we were such a 1-2 punch. It was unbelievable. And then the point guard was Jerry Goodrich.
That's a great name.
The son of Gail Goodrich, who also could not have had a college-age kid at that point.
Yeah.
And the two guard, who didn't really score much, he was just there for defense. His name was Jack Landry. The nephew of Tom Landry.
Man, so, you had so many tie-ins to so many people in the sports world.
And I remember the one guy off the bench was my backup, was John Gianelli Jr., the son of the former Knicks backup center, John Gianelli, who, again, could not have had a college-age son. So I just took random NBA names or sports names and just switched them around a little bit, or made them the guy's kid for whatever reason.
Gordo, you read up on psychology. Is this a sad Napoleon Dynamite childhood existence, or is this healthy, what Junior did?
It should be the focus of everyone's prayer request this weekend, is Junior and his sad childhood.
You want to know what good therapy it was, though, from the psychological angle? And I've always thought this was interesting, because if a kid bullied me at school, for example, he would be on the team that we were playing that night. And I would go off on him.
He got dunked on.
Oh, he got dunked on. Maybe we'd get in a little bit of a fight and the refs would have to break us up. I'd be trash talking to him. Of course, I'd always drop 60 on him.
Jeez. So,
and it really would make me feel better.
And you would go in your room, and these games would go 2 hours, just like a 2.5 hours, like a basketball game?
You have no idea.
4 hours?
I did the whole pregame show on the radio in my mind. I had these blue pajamas. Those were my warm-ups. So I would come out of the closet, and we would get in the warm-up line, and we would do warm-ups, and I'd be wearing my blue pajamas. And then I would sit down, and I would do a pregame interview. And then we'd go back in the locker room. We'd get our last bit of instructions and pep talk, and then we'd come out, and we'd do just a short layup line, still wearing our warm-ups, because warm-ups are still one of my favorite things about basketball.
Blue pajamas, that's pretty cheap imitation.
Yeah. I had the little scoreboard from the, was it electric football or talking football?
Yeah.
Talking football from Mattel came with the scoreboard, so I used that for my scoreboard. So I had it set up on my dresser and, you know, would put the name of the team we were playing. Then we'd do the starting lineups, and I would, of course, be introduced last, and I would trot out there. Crowd would go nuts if we're at home. If we're on the road, they're booing me.
Yeah.
And then whole game, we'd play 20-minute first half, 20-minute second half, and then post-game show, and then
got a shower,
and then maybe homework if I had some. But the whole thing,
for that.
The whole process, yeah, it was at least 2 hours.
Do you think your parents listened in outside the door and giggled? Or do you think they, I think he needs help. I don't think this is good.
I think they probably listened in and thought, God, they're down six. They're supposed to be killing this team.
This is a tough road game for the Cowboys tonight.
They just sat outside your door listening to it on the radio.
Yeah.
Listening to the call. Yeah. And another one by Miller.
He's got 80 tonight.
Oh, man, that's funny. All right.